We have one of our elders, Brad Scheidemann, who is going to share a message that God has laid on his heart. So welcome, Brad.
Okay. Hey. Whoa. That was totally unnecessary, but thank you. Made getting up here a little bit easier, so I appreciate it. All right. This is the title. I'm going to talk a little bit about Jesus, which seems appropriate for church. So let's pray, and then we'll get into this. All right, bow your heads. Heavenly Father, just thank you for this day. Thank you for this holiday weekend that we can celebrate the freedom we have here in America. Thank you especially for the freedom that comes through your Son, Jesus Christ. Continue to work in us, mold us, make us, and teach us this morning what we need to know. Prayer, minds would be open and hearts would be soft, and that you would teach and make us more like you. Pray this in your name. Amen. All right, simply Jesus. So we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 7 through 18. Before I get there, I want to just share a little gift I received a couple months ago. Staples is a great provider of office supplies, which we often need at my place of business. And when days go just right,
that was easy.
I like to remind myself that some things are easy, but most of the days are not very easy, and most of life is really not just simple. Why don't we read 2 Corinthians chapter 3 first, and then I'm going to share a little bit more. So if you have your Bible on your phone or the old-fashioned physical version, I'm going to be in chapter 3, verse 7 through 18. Just follow along with me. It says, "The glory of the new covenant. The old way with laws etched in stone led to death, though it began with such glory that the people of Israel could not bear to look at Moses' face. For his face shone with the glory of God, even though the brightness was already fading away. Shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way, now that the Holy Spirit is giving life? If the old way, which brings condemnation, was glorious, how much more glorious the new way, which makes us right with God? In fact, that first glory was not glorious at all compared with the overwhelming glory of the new way. So if the old way, which has been replaced, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new, which remains forever? Since this new way gives us such confidence, we can be very bold. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so the people of Israel would not see the glory, even though it is destined to fade away. But the people's minds were hardened, and to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, that same veil covers their minds so that they cannot understand the truth. This veil can be removed only by believing in Christ. Yes, even today when they read Moses' writings, their hearts are covered with that veil, and they do not understand. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image." All right, I've titled my talk or message this morning, Simply Jesus. And the fact of the matter is that life often isn't simple. I was reminded of that fact again this morning as I came and tried to get this apparatus around two ears, through the back of my shirt, over here, and into this little compartment here. That was not the easiest thing I was looking to do 5-10 minutes before giving the message. So life is difficult. Other things that we deal with every day, if anyone in the past week had to call a 1-800 number, we know that 1-800 is often 1-800-TROUBLE, and 10 minutes on the phone, hopefully get someone who speaks the same language as you, and eventually accomplish what you're trying to accomplish. Things like PIN numbers, passwords, serial numbers, usernames, those are all part of our technology that we have to use regularly. Even things as simple as the remote control at home. I can run my remote control, but put me in a different house with someone else's remote control. I'm going to the owner of the home or the owner of that remote control pretty quickly to help me turn on the TV. So life is tough. It's not simple. And luckily, there is a different way. It is kind of interesting in studying for this message today. I came across a statistic that in way of phones, there's a new trend going on. Generation Z, which I think is the 20-somethings in our culture today, Generation Z is actually looking to use more flip phones versus a smartphone. So for those who are still hanging on to the old flip phone, don't throw it away yet. You might be in style. But there's findings that our smartphones are causing more trouble and more stress for some than what it's worth. And so the new generation, there's a trend towards simplicity. Growing up, it was a blessing to be raised in a Christian family and regularly attended church, was part of Sunday school classes often growing up. Those Sunday school classes, we often would have a Bible story and then kind of a question and answer session after the story was shared. And as it goes often in Sunday school classes, there's sometimes that moment where nobody wants to say the wrong thing or answer incorrectly, and so there's just silence. And often that silence is uncomfortable. At least it was for me. And so to break that silence, I thought, someone's got to have the answer here, and someone's got to say something. And so 8 or 9 times out of 10, if I said the word Jesus, I got the answer right. And so that's kind of where I came back to this, is that Jesus is usually the right answer. And so that's going to be the focus of what we're talking about. Going back through Scripture, it wasn't always this way. In the Old Testament, I read that there were 613 Old Testament commands. So here's a little numbers for you. So out of 613 commands, 365 of them were negative commands, so didn't have really a positive message. And kind of interesting to note that one of those, for each day of our year that we have currently, and 248 commands are positive, and that corresponds to each part of our body. So 365 negative, 248 positive, and 613 altogether. That's a lot of do's and don'ts and these and thous, which would make my head hurt if I lived in those times. So very, very difficult if we were to live in the Old Testament times following 613 commands. I think it'd be very frustrating. We'd be constantly reminded that it's impossible to follow those. Today, the Ten Commandments are more of where we're living, and we've crossed over from the Old Testament commands to the way of Christ, and there's good news in that. So the next slide talks about the new way, and the new way is emphasized in these verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 14 for you. Verse 14 says, "The people's minds were hardened, and to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their minds, so they cannot understand the truth. And this veil can be removed only by believing in Christ." So, three simple words. Next slide shows the first step is simply believing. So again, Christ is our hope. Jesus is the answer. But it does take an act of our mind and our will that we first have to believe in Christ. And that's this verse 14. The veil, which was in the Old Testament, that was a division. Just like in a wedding, when traditional weddings have a bride who has a veil over her face, the groom doesn't see the bride until the act of the ceremony of marriage is complete, and then the veil is removed. In the Old Testament, those laws were a barrier between those who claim to follow the Lord and having relationship with Him. Those laws were a veil that kept people from having a good relationship. Today, it's not that hard. We don't have to satisfy 613 commands. We just have to believe that Jesus is who He says He is. He is God's Son, and He provided a way for us to have a relationship with Him. So that's step one, is simply believing. Verses 16 and 17 in chapter 3 is behold. Let me read verses 16 and 17. It says, "Whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." So again, this veil is separating us. After believing, there's this word turning. And we've talked about this in church before, that it's not enough simply to believe. In my personal journey, there was a point when I was a teenager that I understood what God, through His Son Jesus, had done for me. I believe that. I made it my own. But then there was also a turning in my life of ways that I used to live to how I wanted to live going forward. So there has to be recognition that what I was doing before is not the right way, And there's a better way that Christ calls us to, and so we need to physically and mentally, we need to turn. At that time, the veil is removed, so we realize that laws aren't what we need to do, and we don't need to follow 613 laws. We realize that Christ has paved a way and provided us freedom. And that's in verse 17. It says, where the Lord is, the Spirit is the Spirit. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So the great news about having Christ as our Savior is that He's given us His Holy Spirit. And that Spirit lives in us, and through that Spirit, there's freedom. Freedom not to sin, but hopefully we understand that Christ has paid a great sacrifice for us, so we have freedom to live as He commands and as He wants us to. Let's see. Finally, the word become. So the word become, verse 18, talks a little more about this becoming process. Verse 18 says, so all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. The Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. So again, the veil of the law is removed. We understand that Christ has made the ultimate sacrifice for us, and the Spirit is now part of us. As a follower of Christ, God's Spirit dwells inside of us. And what His Spirit does, in verse 18, it says it makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. So that process is not a one day, one hour, one moment process. It is a process over time. And good things, we all know, take time. And this is something that, to this day, I'm working on that every day. It's been neat to see that even as I have more birthdays, I understand more about the Lord and His will for my life, and it's a process of becoming that I continue to see happening in my own personal journey. These are some good verses that I've dwelled on and meditated on through the years, and they kind of relate to some of the things we're talking about. So, again, if you have a Bible, follow along with me, but I'm going to be in Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2. Verses 1 and 2 says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. These verses talk about just keeping our eyes on Jesus, and also the weight that often slows us down and sin that trips us up. I kind of think of my experiences fishing, which are more being tripped up than success, but a lot of times my fishing is kind of like what Beads Lake has recently established out at the lake. They have these big plastic tubes about this long, this big around, and the tubes are for your tangled line after you cast and don't catch anything besides weeds and sticks. The line gets tangled, you reel it in, you have this big mess of twine, and you can snip the twine, put it in the tube, and save the environment. Well, sin, in my mind, is kind of like that tangled ball of twine, or ball of fishing line. It's a mess, and I don't have the time and patience to unravel it. It takes too much effort, too much time, and it really can be a hindrance to a successful fishing trip. Sin is that way. It's a mess. It tangles us up. It slows us down, as this verse says, and it trips us up. We need to recognize sin in our life. We need to turn from it, and hopefully, as I mentioned, cut the line, start over, and have a fresh line to hopefully have a successful fishing journey. So again, we just need to be aware of sin that's slowing us down, and ultimately in verse 2 it says, keeping our eyes on Jesus. So Jesus has set the example. He should be who we try and live our life for. He's already perfected our faith, it says in verse 2. That means that He has paid the cost for us. We don't need to follow laws. We don't need to work for our own goodness in His eyes. We're already made perfect in His eyes. And that takes a lot of weight off of my shoulders. I know that. All right. Next verses are in Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. 5:19 through 24. All right, Galatians chapter 5 says, when you follow desires of your sinful nature, the results are clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our life: joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. So we have kind of a contrast of lifestyles, and we also have a warning in these verses. When I see a warning in Scripture, I guess understanding that this is God's living and breathing word that comes out of his mouth, I take it pretty seriously, and warnings are, to me, to be paid attention to. The warnings are that there's a bunch of sins there. If I read them again, it says idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, other sins like these. These are things that, as I observe our world, there's a lot of that stuff going on in our world. We need to, each one of us, personally take account of our own life and ask ourselves, are any of these things part of my life? And if they are, the warning is that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's personally a warning to me that I need to be aware of what sin do I have, and if I am harboring that sin or continuing that lifestyle, then there's a stern warning that God says you're not part of the kingdom. So that's the warning. The good news is that the Holy Spirit, again, by accepting Christ and understanding what Jesus has done for me, the Holy Spirit produces different type of fruit. And the good news is there's love, there's joy, there's peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So in becoming and having the Spirit with us, it's a different lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of joy and peace, gentleness, goodness, self-control. If you're like me, I think you want those qualities in your life. You want that feeling and that that peace in your life. So that is, again, the Spirit allows that. The Spirit hopefully is working in you, and it's a process of becoming. Finally, in Matthew chapter 7, there's a common parable that has another warning, and just thought this was something good I wanted to share with you. It's the parable of the man who built his house in sand and the rock. So verses 21 through 27, Jesus teaches about building on a solid foundation. It says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, perform many miracles in your name. I'll reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. Anyone who listens to my teaching, follows it, is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents, floodwaters rise, the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. So again, I guess these verses in this parable, which many of us have heard many a time, issues a warning. Starts out by saying people will call on the Lord's name and they'll say, didn't I do XYZ? Didn't I serve in VBS? Didn't I teach Sunday school? Wasn't I on the properties committee? Did I mow the church's grass? Did I do this? Whatever it might be. And he might say to some of those people, away from me, I never knew you. It's not about following his laws. In verse 23, he'll say, I'll reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. So again, I guess just the recognition that it's not about doing things. It's about our heart before the Lord and about our attitude. He says in verse 24, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. So again, two steps here. We're listening and we're following. So it's one thing to hear the right things. Also, we need to follow and do. And it goes on to talk about just the foundation. Again, sandy foundation is not a good foundation. It's easy. The bedrock is a hard, a solid foundation. Bedrock, it takes time to drill into bedrock and to establish a good foundation. And that's the process of becoming, is that it's going to be a lifelong process. It's not going to be something that's just a one and done situation. For me, it's a lifelong process that I'm working on continuing to become and follow Jesus and know more about him. Let's see. All right, I think that is it. Next slide. Yeah, we're going to wrap things up here. So believe, behold, become. Again, it's the idea of simplicity. Our world is not simple. Our world is complicated, full of usernames, passwords, user IDs, PIN numbers, all that good stuff. Technology was supposed to make our life easy. Still, that's up for debate, I think. But it's the world we're in. The good news is, as a follower of Christ, there is a different world and there's a different way that we can acknowledge our need for someone to make a way for us, that we can't do it ourselves, and ultimately God's Son, Christ, has come to us to make that way for us. So Staples might need a new marketing idea. Maybe we can patent this button and distribute it at Staples. That would be a miracle, I think. Otherwise, thank you for being here. Appreciate your encouragement. Appreciate those who have prayed for this Sunday. And I'll close in prayer. All right. Heavenly Father, just thank you for your word. Thank you for the message that you gave myself and we were able to hear. Pray that you'd continue to work in our hearts, our minds, draw us to you. Teach us more about your will for our life and help us to be obedient and turning from our past and turning to you as the way to a simple life. Thank you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.